Matthew chapter 18, I want to preach a message here this morning, pray the Lord to help and bless on sin and forgiveness, Matthew 18, Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1, Matthew 18, verse number 1, at that time, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Who's number one? Who's up there at the top? Who's the top six or the top 10 or the top 100? You know, men in the way of this world is such that in the business realm, there's the top 100 in this, the top 500 in this, and the stock market has those things where they monitor these companies that meet some qualifications based on the income or revenue that they produce or the robustness of the company or whatever. And the disciples, as it is with us, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for each one that you've brought this way, Lord, that we might assemble ourselves together as your house, your building, Lord, your church, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us that we would. Help us to lay aside all the cares of life and all those things that beset our minds, Lord, that we might look to you and your word and what you have to say unto us. Lord, help us as a church and as your children before you, that we might be strengthened, that we might be edified, we might be built up in your most holy faith. And Lord, for those that are here this morning and not saved, Lord, that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, that you would visit them, that you would touch them. Lord, that you would save their souls. We pray, Father, that you would help us now and help with your word. Lord, take me out of the way. Just use me and speak through me. And help us, Father, to hear and believe what you're saying unto us. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, the disciples come asking this question, and the Lord tells them in verse number 2, he brings this little child. And when you talk about a little child, all right, you're talking about Not one that's up there, and I hadn't seen this before. We're talking about a little child, one that's able to walk, but maybe yet can't talk plain. One that sits on their mother's knee or their father's knee, or that's sitting there close to grandma and grandpa. A little child, He called a little child unto him. He said, "Hey, come here." And he brought that little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. They're gathered around there, and maybe the Lord is sitting here or standing here, and they're gathered around, as it would be, that people that would come in close to hear what the Lord would say. And he takes that little child and he sets him there in the midst. In verse number 3, he said, "Verily." And when the Lord says "verily," when he says "verily, verily, truly, truly," you cannot do without these words is what he's saying. He's putting that emphasis. "Verily, I say," you need this. You need to grab a hold of it. You need to believe it. "I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." That word "converted," what's that speaking about? Well, take a look over here in Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to give you a verse here, one verse, and there are others, but we can take a look here at this one to get the understanding of it. Here in Matthew 18, verse 3, this word "converted," "except ye be converted," Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 7, and verse number 9, Luke 7, verse number 9, he's dealing here with this centurion and the faith that he has, and the trust that he has, the hope that he has in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 7, verse number 9, you remember over there in Matthew 18, verse 3, the word "converted." Luke 7, verse number 9, "When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about." Same word. Turned him about. Same word as "converted." "Except ye be converted, back in Matthew 18, except ye be converted, except ye be turned about, change your direction. Your direction be changed. Turning from sin, self, the world, Satan, except ye be converted. Except ye be converted and become as little children, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Repentance. Repentance. A little child will take you and trust you, won't they? They'll believe everything that you tell them. They're looking for someone, and namely their parents, grandparents. They're looking for someone that will always tell them the truth. They always believe it. They always trust it. A little child. You know what? The Lord tells us things, and he tells sinners that they need to repent and trust in him. They tell sinners that they need to repent and believe the gospel. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything away from it. But believe him. Believe him. Believe as a little child believes. You put out your hands to a little child, and most, there are some that won't, but you put out your little hands out to a child that's up on a stoop or up on a high place to catch them. The biggest part of the time, they'll trust you and they'll jump. I know there's some saying that, no, I can't do that. But some will. And that's the way a brother said years ago, dealing with his children. He said they were struggling. They wanted to be saved. They had a desire to be saved. And the example I always thought that he gave was good. He said, you know how it is when you get up in the tree to his boy, he said, you get up in the tree and I told you to jump down and I'll catch you. He said, yeah. And how was it? At the beginning, what was it that you told me that you wanted to have before you jumped? I said, well, I wanted to felt like I'd been caught before I jumped. Become as a little child and trust in Jesus Christ and lay all your care on him. Listen, you can't experience salvation till you yield yourself to the Lord and he save your soul. Trust in him. Don't get the cart before the horse. You're not going to have a surety of salvation till you give up on you and trust in Jesus. You're not going to have salvation and rescue from sin until you see that Jesus is all in all and you lay it all upon him. And he's promised he'll save. He's promised he'll not turn out or cast away anyone that comes to him. Except, verily I say unto you, except you be converted, you turn, you repent, you turn from the way of the world, from sin, from self, from the way you want to, and you turn to who? Turn to Jesus. Not to the church, not to the pastor, not to any person in your life, but turn to Jesus. You won't enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. A little child has need. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I got to go to the bathroom. They've got needs, don't they? They, when they ask, they humble themselves. What is so much in us that we want to do in humanity? We want to take care of things ourselves, but a little child is not of a maturity, not of an age to where they can do things for themselves until they grow and they learn or are able to do so. A child is humble because without others, without help, they're not going to make it. And it's in the human nature that we don't want to look for hope or help or assistance or rescue from someone else. We want to do it ourselves. But we need to humble ourselves as a little child who needs help in all respects. A little child, you take a little child, maybe they can just walk or so, they've been walking for a while, and generally you take their clothes, their bed clothes, and you throw at them, said, get dressed for bed. They can't do it, can they? They need help. In every respect, they need help until they grow and they learn that. Except Except whosoever therefore, verse 4, shall humble himself as of this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord's economy, the Lord's way of reckoning things. Disciples, you've asked this question, who's the greatest? Well, the one that becomes humble, the one that their humility has shown that they need me. Isn't that what the Lord tells us in the book of John? He tells his church, he tells his disciples, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. We need the Lord, and we can't save ourselves. It is the Lord that saves. He says, you know what? In verse number 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. When we humble ourselves as that little child before the Lord, and our desire is in him and him alone, our care, we know and understand and have confidence and faith that our care is going to be met in him, we won't care about the position here. We won't care about greater or lesser or somewhere in between. It's all going to be in Jesus. You see? You see, it's in Jesus. It's in Jesus and what he says. Verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. The Lord doesn't reckon things like you and I. The Lord doesn't care about fame and prosperity of this world and such as that. He cares about sinners repenting and believing and trusting in him, and he's saving their souls. Verse 5, and whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Why? Because in such, so many times that the Lord says, lo, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Christ has come unto you. Receive one. Receive one of these little ones. They receiveth me. What's it say in John chapter 1 verse 12? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. See, we just take it at face value what the Lord says. And you're here this morning without Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to become as a little child and believe him carte blanche. Everything that he says, believe it and receive it. Take his side against yourself and turn from your way. Be converted and turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. Hear the word of God. Because see, it's by the very preaching. It's not because of me, but it's because of what the Lord says that you now know and are instructed to turn. You wouldn't ever found out by yourself, but the word of God, the kingdom has come nigh unto you. Verse number 6, but whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, oh boy, offenses, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, he makes a difference there. Those little ones that have believed in me, offend or sin against one of them, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That's Jesus Christ speaking. Offending, sinning against the world takes the children and people of God and just runs them over with a steamroller. We need not have an inferiority complex or a woe is me complex. We don't need to this. But the sober understanding is to understand that the world and Satan is against the children of God. They're not received by the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of men. Not received by it. We're counted as nothing to this old, wretched, sinful world. And the Lord says, oh, in chapter 18 of Luke, he says, shall not the Lord avenge his elect that he suffers long with, but cry unto him day and night. See, there's that simple childlike faith crying out to the Lord for help, humbling ourselves because we can't do a thing. We can't live. We can't make it without him. And he says, yes, his children, he will avenge. Woe, woe unto that one that'll offend one of these little ones which believe in me. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and a millstone on a good-sized mill that's being driven by a donkey or a mule or that. I wouldn't want that kind of rock tied to me, would you? Because if the tying is good and the water is deep, you're done. Offenses. Offenses. But who shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me? It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. That would be better than that offense. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must be, needs be, that offenses come. He says, it will happen. Sin reigns on the earth, and death by sin reigns. Although we know that Jesus Christ has defeated such, but because sin reigns amongst us, that's the reason that we die. One day the Lord's going to bring that to an end, but until then it happens. A lady that we have visited the nursing home for many, many months, she died this past week. And because of sin, we die. And these offenses are going to come because of sin. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. I believe that's partially speaking about Judas. I believe that's talking about the world and the world sinning against God by abusing his children and his people. But it's a warning to us. Look how the Lord says, and that's what the Lord does. Lord, who's going to be the greatest? He says, you need to become as a little child. Don't worry about all that stuff. Don't worry about the popularity in heaven. Don't worry about the popularity in the kingdom. The Lord told the disciples, the apostles, he says, you're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. But don't glory in that. That's the place that I have for you. But he said, don't glory to the disciples, the 35 pair, the 70 that he sent out two by two. He says, don't glory that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. That you know me and that I know you. Rejoice in that. Don't worry about who's the greatest, and the one that humbles themselves won't. These offenses are going to come, and it is the Lord will avenge his elect. That's a promise that we have. Somebody does us wrong in this life, God will make it right. God will take care of it. Our care and our hope and our consolation needs to be in him. He will take care of it. Just go on doing right, doing right, doing right, living like Jesus, changing your life, mortifying your body, we're going to see, and hope in him. He'll take care of it. He'll make it right. He will take care of his own. And then he goes on here as they ask a question that encompasses many, and the Lord always does. He takes it right back down to you, right down to you and me. And he says here, these offenses are going to come, and woe to the one by whom the offense cometh. Verse 8, wherefore if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes and be cast into hell fire. He says, he's talking to his disciples. And everlasting life is everlasting life. But he's saying, don't be sinning. Don't sin. Don't sin. If it's got to take you doing that, do that rather than sin. Now, does the Lord want us cutting off our hands, cutting off our feet, and plucking out our eyes? No, he wants us to grab a hold of his words and understand that we need to put away sin. We got to put sin out of our life. It's that bad. It killed us. It was killing us, and it's killing this body now, which is the keeping on and continuance of sin and living in life. But it was sin that had us damned and doomed to a devil's hell and a lake of fire for eternity. We were without Christ on the way to that second death. May God help us to see that sinning against him was killing us physically and spiritually before the Lord visited us and saved us. He says, whatever you got to do, put sin out of your life. And the world says, Satan says, his children say, go on, a little thing won't matter. One won't matter. You got away with it before. It'd be okay this time. Sin. Sin. What is sin? Disobedience against God. We take it from the top down, we can sin with our minds, can't we? We can sure look pure religious when we want to, but our mind be far from God. We need not sin. We need to take a look and be careful about what we take in with these eyeballs. Because with the eye, the Lord says the light shines into the soul and shines into us. We don't need to be looking at pornography and filth. We don't need to be looking at the evil way of the wicked. We don't need to be playing the games of the wicked and the evil. We don't need to be partaking of those things movies, video, games, all that stuff, that anything that you can take in with your eye. If we partake of it, it's sin. It's sin. And you and I, as the children of God, we don't need to be taking it in. With our ears, we don't need to be taking into our ears that which is against the Lord. Song, music, a wicked way and discussion of such, dirty jokes, nasty, filthy jokes, listening to the wickedness of the world and the way of Satan, the spirits that move among the earth. The Lord says, try those spirits, because they'll promote to you a wicked way. We need not hear that. We need not take that in. Our mouth, our tongue, we need not speak that which is not becoming. Taking the Lord's name in vain. Cussing, swearing, making a boast of ourselves and what we can do and what we've done. Having a bad attitude that shows up in the mouth. Boy, the tongue. I know it's rude to stick out your tongue. The tongue, James tells us, it's an unruly evil. It sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. The tongue. It's from the tongue that we gossip, that we tell folks business that doesn't belong to them, that we tattle and rattle and carry on, and rather than praising God and rather than having our conversation of our mouth seasoned with grace, we run down this one, we run down that one, we gossip, carry on, tattle, fiddle, and tell all around. We curse God. We bless men. Bless God, I think the scripture says, and curse men. We need not sin with our tongue. Then with our hands, doing that which are with our hands, that is wickedness, sin. We need to put sin out of our lives. We need to put sin. We take this body and put it to places it shouldn't go. We take this body and use it and abuse it in so many different ways. We can eat too much, we can smoke, we can drink, we can use drugs, chew tobacco, abuse this body. We can work ourselves into ground and have nothing left to give to the Lord on Sunday. Sin. Sin. Take these feet and go and walk, not in the narrow way, not in the right way, but walk in the wrong way. Get over there dabbling around in the Broadway. Folks, it's sin. If Jesus wouldn't do it, may God help us to see that you and I don't need to do it. That's the gauge. That's the standard. And he says, whatever you got to do, put away sin out of your lives. Romans chapter 8, you're familiar with it. Romans chapter 8, take a look over here. We need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Humble ourselves as a little child. Say, yes, Lord, what it is that you want me to do, where you want me to be, what you want me to say, how you want me to live, that's what I want to do. Not make up our own way, not make up our own way of serving God that's kind of the flex plan here, but finding out what God says and obeying that. Romans chapter 8, verse number 13, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify or pin down the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's a salvation of the soul. But you know what? There's a salvation of the life also. We're to yield our lives a living sacrifice, it tells us in Romans. And what a shame it is to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, have the salvation of the soul, having, as Peter tells us, being able to take the rest of our time of our life, that we can take the rest of the time, the years that the Lord's given us from the time he saved our souls, and we can take those and use them for the glory of our Lord and Savior, and not. You see what I'm saying? We have it. We have freedom and liberty, the scripture says. Now that we've been enlightened, we've been shown what sin is, where before we didn't have a clue what sin was. We were taught right and wrong by our parents or the world or whatever. That means you understand that today some people are teaching right and wrong, that right is what you want to do and there is no wrong. You can be taught anything. But when the word of God shone up and the light shone and was shed abroad, love of God was shed abroad in our hearts, we now know what sin is. We've been illuminated. We know the difference because the Spirit of God lives within. And when we go in and we dabble into something as the Lord's children, we mess with something that we shouldn't be messing with, and the Spirit of God speaking to us, and we say, I don't want to hear that. I want to go ahead and do what I want to do. We quench the spirit. And then we start driving that wedge between us and the Lord. And we get down the road. We wonder why that we have no connect, no spirituality, no moving of the Lord in us, no freshness and goodness of life like it was when the Lord first saved us. We've got to put sin out of our lives. And the Lord says at all costs, do it, children. And you have your life after you're saved and you've been illuminated, but then we don't take that and use it for the Lord fully, completely, 100%. What a waste. What a waste it would be. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Did you hear that? Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall he also appear with him, and shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. But we've been saved from those things, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Why does he tell one of the Lord's churches to not lie to each other? Because we're subject to do it. We need to admit it and face up to it, that we, even being saved, can sin, and we need to get away from it. Hide his word in our heart. Read this right here to know that it is within me to lie and then not lie. Well, I got to lie to this one to make this work out. Andy Griffith. Andy Griffith. It's always about the lie to make it all right. Mark it down. Go take a look at it and watch it. It's always about, we'll tell the little lie, and then that'll make it all right. And then they had to eat Aunt B's pickles forever. Right? Am I lying? Yeah. There is never a time to lie that'll make it all okay and right. Lying to ourselves, lying one to another, lying to the government. Have work that we do, lying to our employer, lying in our business. We not need lie. We should not lie. We need to provide all things honest and abide by the law of the land. I know some of the law of the land is not agreeable to us, but we need to abide by it. We need not act like that we are when we're not. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. That's what we've been saved from. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, knowing about the Lord after the image of him that created him, whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Christ in me, my hope of glory. We need not sin. Back in Matthew 18. Don't sin, children. Don't worry about who's the greatest. Become as a little child. Humble ourselves before the Lord. You that are without Christ, humble yourselves in the sight of Almighty God and repent and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Child of God, humble yourselves as a little child. Take God at his word. Believe him in what he says and pursue him and follow him always, forever. And nothing, let nothing dissuade you. I said, well, if I obey the Lord in that, it's going to cost me. Don't you think God can do better than that? He can, if we'll lay it on the line and trust him. But we don't get grace and we don't get mercy. We don't get that which we don't deserve, grace. We don't have that taken away from us that we do deserve, mercy, till we take it and put it on the line with the Lord. Remember about the little boy in the tree that wanted to feel caught before he jumped to his daddy? Faith is believing that the Lord will do it and accomplish it. I've had some prayers answered this week. Things I've been praying for. Things I've asked the Lord for. And I tell you, just 1, 2, 3, the Lord's just dumped them in my lap. And I thought, well, I'd have never thought it'd have worked out like that. That's what God does. We look around and we say, well, it's impossible. It can't happen with what we've got, the way it's lined up, what we think can happen. This thing can't come to be. That's when God shines. We don't have this. We don't have that. We don't have the other. This one is gone. That one's gone. Are we serving each other? Well, we should. But are we looking to the Lord? Are we looking around what we can put together? Here? May God help us. May the Lord help us. Back in Matthew 18, verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Despise, disdain, think little or nothing of. Is there anybody in the house of God, child of God, member of this church, that you think is less than you? God knows it. Let us not have that attitude. We have a real easy tendency, and it is that way. It's in us, and we need to realize to be a respecter of persons, to esteem this brother and this sister in this way, but then this other one, we don't esteem them much because of, well, you know, that should not be amongst us. Child of God is a child of God, and we need to esteem others better than ourselves, always. Somebody we turn our nose up to, won't speak to, is less or below us in the church, in the world. May God help us. He's going to tell us about it here in a minute. He says, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Hold a grudge. Yeah, it's easy to hold a grudge. We need not hold a grudge. We need not look down on others. But we need to be a witness and help of Christ who came and reached down and pulled sinners out of the miry clay and set us free. We need not work on our own agenda, but we need to work on that agenda of the Lord. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. If you're here on Sunday evenings and heard about the power of an angel, that makes me afraid. Amen? When one angel can go and kill 70,000 people, one person every 4 seconds in 3 days, those angels behold the face of the Father. See the wrath that is laid up in store for those that abuse the children of God, these little ones that believe in the Lord. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep, and one of them going astray, doth not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is the will of your Father which is in heaven, that not one of these little ones should perish. Those that the Lord saves, folks, we that he have saved, we are valuable to him. He, if you will, went the extra mile for those that he saves. He gives all men life, light, the enjoyableness of this earth, the provision, the rain, the sunshine, ability to work, right use of the mind, heart beating, health. He gives those things to all men. But you and I that he saved, he went looking for us and found us. And he rejoices in us. He rejoices in saving these little ones. Are you a sheep? Understand that if you go astray, here's another application of this. Understand that if you're a mature sheep and you go astray, you'll lead away the lambs. Lambs, watch who you follow. Sheep, watch which direction you go. Others are watching. Are we following Christ? Or are we following ourselves? Verse 15, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, and it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The Lord is always speaking to his disciples in church context. Understand that. This isn't a license to go out and say, well, Brother Jim, so-and-so and so-and-so, I got together here and we said this is it, and God honors that. He's speaking to his church. He's speaking to his disciples in his church. The Lord knows no other context. And he tells us here, he says, you got a quarrel because offenses are going to come. Has your brother or sister offended you? Go to them. And what's it say? Alone. Let us not blab our problems and tell our problems that we have with a brother, with a sister, to everybody in our family, in our neighborhood, of our friends and all. Let us not tell the whole world. But the Lord says, if I've been offended by one, let me go to them alone and seek a healing. Seek forgiveness. What's it say? Seek a reuniting in fellowship. Moreover, verse 15, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if he'll hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Thou hast gained thy sister. That's the way that disputes in the church amongst brothers and sisters in Christ are to be solved. Not by telling everybody else other than that one, but go to that one. Go to that one. And if he will not hear thee, verse 16, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. Then go ahead and get a couple more, but don't tell it to another 20 or another 30. Get those few of the church and go and try it that way. And then, if that doesn't work, if they won't hear, verse 17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Tell it to the church then, if the witnesses don't work, and there it is in the church alone. And whatever the church says, that's what needs to be done. And if the one that's wrong, because it could be the one going or the one that's being gone to could be wrong, and they reject to hear the church, They need to be as one that needs salvation. That's what's being said. And then the Lord goes ahead and backs it up here. Because who was it that the Lord went to and witnessed to? The heathen. Who was it that the Lord was amongst? And the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and lawyers quarreled with him about. He eateth with publicans. But he went to witness to publicans because publicans and sinners need to be saved. There's no shunning that happens, right? I see in the scripture. But there is a condition and a way of view that we need to have toward those that are wayward. And then he tells here, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Because the church has been given authority to deal with these things. Therefore, we need to go to the Word of God and make sure that we do them right. As children of the Lord and members of His church, we need to go to the Word of God and make sure we operate right. And let us not be tattling and gossiping and telling everything that everybody's done to us wrong, to everybody around. But let us go to our brother or our sister and try to get it straightened out, that there be harmony and peace. The Lord's made an order of doing it, and we should well do it. Because whatsoever the church binds on earth shall be bound in heaven, verse 18, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, and they shall ask, and it shall be done of them for them of my Father which is in heaven. You have a quarrel, you have a problem with a brother or sister, pray that God will work in it and change hearts, because we've seen that it is only God that can touch the heart and change the heart. Amen? It's only the Lord that can change hearts. And he says, verse 20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Little as much if God is in it. If the church be big or the church be small, God hears his people and listens and deals with his church. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Seven times is good, isn't it? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Forgiveness that the Lord has given unto us. Your brother, your sister trespass against you, sin against you, upset you, do you bad, do you wrong. Our attitude needs to be of forgiveness. Peter says seven times. That'll be enough, right, Lord? That'll be good enough. Seven times. That's a good number. It's a good righteous number. It's a whole number. It's a perfect number. The Lord says till 70 times seven. Over in Luke, it says in the same context, it's said of the Lord that he says seven times in a day. So I believe that what the Lord is getting at here is our willingness to forgive should be unlimited. Unlimited forgiveness that the children of God should have for those that offend us. Unlimited forgiveness. Is not that what the Lord has had for us? He has forgiven me my sins and separated them from me as far as the east is from the west because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Always willing to forgive. Now listen, I've told you, there's a difference between forgiveness and honor. Did David forgive Saul every time that Saul tried to kill him? Sure he did. You know how you know that? Because of the way that David wept when Saul was killed. Because was not David a fighting man himself? He proved twice over that he could have taken Saul's life. But David forgave Saul, but the honor was lost, wasn't it? Whenever Saul was standing around with a sword or a javelin, David watched himself, didn't he? You see what I'm saying? Forgiveness and honor are two different things. But forgiveness, we need to be always ready to forgive. And here's the summary of it. Verse 23, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him and owed him 10,000 talents. And it doesn't tell us talents of what. A talent is like 120 pounds of something. What a man could carry for a day is how I understand that a talent was estimated. 10,000 talents. It doesn't matter if it was gold or feathers. It was a debt that the man could not pay. It was an unpayable debt. And he owed this king, as it is with the Lord, he is our king, He owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25, but forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. And the servant therefore fell down and worshipped him. Did he not humble himself before the Lord? He did. He worshipped him, saying, Lord, capital L, capital L, not little L, capital L. Lord, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him his debt. He desired him, as it goes on to say. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, just a little bit of nothing in comparison to his debt, and laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. His same words. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very sorry. They knew what had he'd been forgiven, an unpayable debt of 10,000 talents. They knew that which we required of his fellow servant, 100 pence, and had him and cast him into the prison. He did not have pity or mercy, did he? So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Verse 32, then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me, thou beseeched me, thou entreated me, you prayed unto me, you asked me to have mercy upon you, not require of you what you owed. That's mercy. We've got it coming, and the Lord says, I'll take it away. I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Should not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentor, so that he should pay all that was due unto him. Listen, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, disciples, if ye from your hearts, not just on the outside, but ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Sin and forgiveness. We need to become as a little child. We need to believe the Lord and trust him and humble ourselves, knowing that what he says goes. We need to get away from sin because we've been saved. And we need to look to the Lord and pursue the Lord in every single thing. We need to be representative of forgiveness in ourselves, because we, as the Lord's children, have we not royally been forgiven? We have. Forgiven of a debt that we could not pay. And the Lord expects us to extend that forgiveness to our brothers and sisters in Christ, for sure, and to those round about us, knowing that the Lord will recompense according to the working of folks. And if we have a quarrel with our brother and sister, we need to go to them. We need to not be tattlers. We need not be gossipers. But we need to follow the Lord's way in everything. And for you that are here this morning and not saved, look at the forgiveness that's available in Jesus Christ. A debt of sin you can't pay. If you come to the Lord and humble yourself as a little child, he'll forgive you at all, because Jesus paid it all.